Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter on Church at Home. Welcome to Church at Home, where we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, because so much has been lost. Men have discounted so much of the Bible that even some evangelicals can actually just rely on two verses and say, we're saved. And they lose the whole knowledge and understanding of the history in the Bible and why we are where we are today and what's happening in the world today. And they lose the history, that history repeats itself. You'll hear a lot of people say, well, the same thing we're witnessing today happened in Rome. True, but it happened way, way earlier than Rome. It happened before the flood. And after the flood, God gave the promise that he would never again destroy the world with a flood. And through the sons of Noah and their wives, the earth was repopulated again. And with all the animals that came through the flood, all the animals of the world that we see today came from them. But it didn't take long for men to go back to the way of Cain, because they still remembered that. And so we find here in Genesis, the 10th chapter, which becomes very important to understand, and in the King James Version and other versions, they don't have the translation correct, so they don't understand what really has gone on. So I want to tell you this, both at Church at Home and our other website, cbcg.org, we have the book called The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, showing that papal worship is the worship of Nimrod and his wife, Semiramis. And the rebellion started again in the third and fourth generation after the flood through Nimrod. Now, it's not picked up very easily here in the King James Version, because it says Nimrod before God. Now, let's read it the way that it should be. Verse 8, Genesis 10. So we see how then the way of Cain came back into force after the flood. And Cush begat Nimrod. And Nimrod began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter against the Lord, or in place of the Lord. He became one of the gods. And he began an empire building on the same evil foundation of the way of Cain. And they still had fresh in their mind the things concerning the flood. Noah was still alive. Shem was alive. Japheth was alive with all of their children. And there was a lot of war going on between Nimrod and his army against Noah and the sons of Noah. Began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter against the Lord, or in place of the Lord. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod. Who is like him, the mighty hunter in place of the Lord? And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Ekron, Akkad, Calne, in the land of Shinar. Now that seems like just a, well, I wonder what this is all about. Well, you get the book, The Two Babylons, by Alexander Hislop, and you'll understand. Now, if you have been a good Catholic all your life, why don't you take up the challenge? Read it. Is it true or is it not true? Do you look and see all of these practices religiously and governmentally in your church and in your world? The answer is yes. Now let's come to chapter 11 and see what God had to do, and see why we have so many pagan gods in the history of all the other nations with many different names. Yet as Alexander Hislop points out in his book, The Two Babylons, they all go back to Semiramis, Nimrod, and the son of Semiramis. And if you want to know a true historical truth, those three were the original trinity of the gods. Verse 1, chapter 11. And the whole earth was of one language and one speak, and it came to pass, as they were migrating toward the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they settled there. Wonderful, nice place. Oh, this looks good. It's fertile. That's right in the area of what is called Babylon today. And boy, what a bloody place that has been down through history. I think the only other place that has been more bloody is what is called the Holy Land, which is very unholy, called Palestine, where we have today the remnant of this bloody fight continuing between the Jews and the Palestinians. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And when you burn the stones when they're bricks, you can build quite an edifice. Even some scientists have figured out that they could raise that up to about 2,000 feet. Now today, they're trying to redo that in the kingdom of Dubai. Tallest building in the world. 2,500 feet. Do you know what's going to happen to that when Christ returns? It's going to all come tumbling down. See, men in the attitude and spirit of Nimrod want to think of themselves as great. And they want to go into the heavens. That's what they wanted to do here. Verse 4, and they said, come, let us build a city and a tower with its top reaching into the heavens, and let us establish a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. Because they knew that God was going to send them to their designated inheritance and lands after the flood. And they were in rebellion, and they didn't want to do it. So let's build a city. Let's all gather together. Let's make this great tower that reaches into the heavens. And Josephus gave a very interesting comment on that. He said that they made it waterproof, so in case God would bring a flood because of their rebellion, they could all escape into this tower, and they would survive a flood that God would bring on the earth. Knowledgeable rebellion against God. And as we will see, all under the aegis and direction of Satan the devil. Because all of this has to do with the kingdom of God, the kingdom of men. Does God rule in your life, or does Satan rule in your life? Now that we have to find out for ourselves. Verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and tower which the children of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, the people are all one, and they all have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Now nothing which they imagine to do will be restrained from them. Isn't that what we say today? Watch the ads, imagination. And even a very important ad by IBM. Now you'll see this from time to time. They show what is a depiction of the destruction of the Tower of Babel. And they boldly say, what they began, we will finish. Very interesting, isn't it? Are all of these technologies godsend? Or are they inspired from another source? But notice, man can do whatever they imagine to do. So here was God's solution. Verse 7. Come, let us, and that us, as we saw before, was the one who became Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, and the one who became God the Father when he begat Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Not a trinity, not the Holy Host in heaven, Elohim, two, the Father and the Son. Let us go down and confound their language so that they cannot understand one another's speech. Imagine that, trying to build this big tower and everybody speaking different languages. No one could understand. So hold on, listen to this, all sacred namers, pay attention. Did God give the language to Adam and Eve when he created them and put it in their mind? Yes. Was that a sacred language? Well, it was, because God invented it, right? Yes, he gave it. Did they, with that sacred language, develop other gods and serve Satan the devil? Yes, so they polluted it, right? Well, here again, please understand, every language comes from God. And then men develop them out into other languages after that. So technically, since they all come from God, regardless if they descend into Satanism and demonism, it originally started out as a sacred language, i.e., it came from God. Now let's go on. So the Lord scattered them abroad from that place upon the face of all the earth, and they quit building the city. And they called the name of it Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth there, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So, men in rebellion again. Again, God had to resort to one man, Abram. Now, we'll cover that a little later. But he was one man whom God blessed. And everything that God did through Abram, or Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, down through the 12 tribes of Israel, down to Jesus Christ, and on into all eternity, goes back to this one man. So that's another account in the Bible that we need to understand and understand very thoroughly. But let's keep focused on the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of Satan, the devil. Now let's come back to the book of Revelation. Revelation 12. And here's quite a chapter. It talks about the initial rebellion of Satan the devil being cast down to the earth. It talks about his activity. It talks about his persecution of the church and those who keep the commandments of God. But it also tells us something very interesting here, because it gives us a clue, and as we will see, in the final kingdom of Satan and man on this earth, it is going to get very, very desperate. And now the stage is being set for that. So we'll bring that out in another one of the segments that we do. But let's come back here to Revelation 12, and let's read verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent who is called Satan and the devil, who is deceiving the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. So there's Satan the devil and his angels, who are called demons. That is the kingdom of Satan. Now, where does the kingdom of Satan operate today? And where, as we will ask, does the kingdom of God operate today? Let's come back here to Luke, the 4th chapter. And let's see where, when Jesus was manifested in the flesh, ready to begin his ministry, right after his baptism by John to fulfill all righteousness, he went into the wilderness, into the desert, to be tempted of Satan the devil. And let's see what he was tempted over. Let's see what the conversation was. And this will help us to understand the conflict between the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. Satan is the king over his kingdom. Christ is the king over his kingdom. And there had to be this confrontation, because the first man, Adam, and his wife Eve, rejected the rule and government of God. Now Christ, as the future king, he had to defeat Satan in the flesh. and he had to defeat him at the very weakest physical ability that he had, so that he would rely wholly on the Spirit of God. And he fulfilled the prophecy that we read of back in Genesis 3, that there would be a Savior, and this Savior would overcome Satan the devil. So here is the very first encounter that he had to go through to prove and show that he would always, even though he was God in the flesh, had to be tempted by Satan the devil, because he had human nature, and he could be tempted in every way that we are. So let's read it. This is very important. Verse 1, "And Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing in those days, and after they had come to an end, he hungered," or as Matthew has it, famished. Now, after fasting 40 days, 40 nights, you're going to be weak in the flesh, right? Yes, he had to live and survive by the Holy Spirit of God. That's why he was filled with the Spirit of God. Now, the devil came to him, bringing him every single temptation and testing whether Jesus would use the powers of God to serve himself, Satan, or God. And if he served himself, then he would have submitted to Satan the devil. This becomes important because this tells you how all the governments in the world are now corrupt. And it tells you who rules them. Let's read on. "And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God," which he was, "command that this stone be made bread," which he had the power to do. Now, gets down to this, the same thing we've asked before. Who do you obey, God or Satan? And Satan in the guise of other people and institutions and philosophies. Who do you worship? Who do you depend upon? Notice Jesus' answer. Verse 4, "But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And Matthew and Deuteronomy 8 add, that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now notice, man, what does that mean? Well, as God manifested in the flesh, he was a man and he had human nature. So the devil was coming tempting him. What are you going to do with your human nature, Jesus? Oh, now look, look how much weight you've lost in 40 days. Just think how hungry you would be. Just think how wonderful the odor of this fresh bread you could create out of these stones would be, because you're so hungry. Jesus gave the right answer. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Question, what do you live by? Do you live like Cain and make your own rules, though you're religious, and think God has to accept your ideas, which are contrary to his word? What do you live by, the word of God? Or, in the case of this world, the world filled with atheists and non-believers and all kinds of other gods and religions? Who do you obey? What do you follow? Do you live by every word of God? Now let's just project this forward a little bit. Was Jesus God in the flesh? Yes. Was he the one who gave the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel before he came as Jesus Christ? Yes. He gave the words then, didn't he? Yes. What about all the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament? Are not those the words of God? Yes. But did you know there are some people who even claim that they don't have to follow the teachings of Jesus because those were merely for the Jews? Notice Jesus did not say, "The Jew shall live by every word of God, not by bread only." He said, "Man." That means every human being. And Jesus was saying this of himself. All right, let's go on. Verse 5. Then the devil led him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Just like a great kaleidoscope screen. A super, you know, you see the big super sports screens that they have at the stadiums, and they're all enthralled with their gods and running up and down, you know, the football field or basketball court, and they show the replays up on the screen, and ooh, what a wonderful thing. So here's Satan. He's got this big screen, and he's showing Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, past, present, and future, all of their wealth, all of their gold, all of their silver, all of their buildings, everything that they have. Notice what he says. Verse 6, tempting. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all this authority," that is over all the nations, "and the glory of them, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I desire." Ha! Who rules all the nations? Satan the devil and his demons. God has let them have the rule and reign because men reject the word of God. Because men follow the way of Cain. They don't want to read and study their Bible and say, "Yes, Lord, oh, this is what I need to do. Oh, I've been a sinner, forgive me. Oh, God, I need your spirit. I need to get rid of this human nature through baptism and the receiving of your spirit and to walk in your way. Oh, yes, Lord, I want your way." No, they attack the Bible. They destroy the Bible. They get rid of the word of God. You go to a so-called Christian church, you can hear wonderful platitudes. You're not going to hear anything like this. That's why we have church at home. So you can learn, so you can know, so you can understand what's going on in the world. Why are the governments in such confusion? Why is the world so chaotic? Why is everything coming apart? Two things. Wrong government, controlled by Satan the devil. Wrong religion, which is a substitute for the way of God. Now, what you need to do is go on cbcg.org and download the sermons that I gave, Why God Hates Religion. You know why he does? Because it's all of the way of Cain. So if you think you're religious, you think you're a good, wonderful person, take the challenge. Really? Let's go on, see what happened here. Notice what is required. Notice what is required. If you want to inherit all the wealth and power in the world, there is a requirement from Satan the devil. And that requirement is you give up the true God and his word and his truth, and you worship Satan, the devil. Let's read it. Verse 7, "Therefore, if you will worship me in my presence," and that means as God, "all things shall be yours." Question. Who do the super elite of this world really actually worship then? Because you can't get that rich and have that much control unless you do as Satan says and worship him. You just think on that. And that is the group that controls all nations and all religions under Satan the devil. That is the kingdom of Satan. What did Jesus say to him? But Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you, that is, as a human being, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Boy, this is quite a challenge, isn't it? He was offered rulership of the world. But what is the ultimate destiny of Jesus Christ if he's faithful? Which he was. King of kings and Lord of lords, right? Yes. But that's only God's way. You can never succeed by going Satan's way. Absolutely will not happen. That's why you need this book. Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, there is no other book like this published anywhere in the world that really lays bare all the holidays of this world, their satanic origins, and the truth of the holy days of God. Now, we'll send it to you, no cost. Just email us. Give us your name and address. We'll mail it to you. You need to understand. You need to ask yourself the question, what am I doing? Where am I going? What is my life? Especially if you think you're I'm a good religious person. I go to church every Sunday, and my life is just wonderful. Well, Satan is very happy to have you fat and sassy and deceived and on his side and don't even know it. But I'll tell you one thing, Sunday keeping is a lie. Holiday keeping is a lie. Communion is a lie. The truth is the Sabbath and the holy days and the Passover of God. What is this? Well, let me tell you, if you think that way, that tells you how far you are from God and how you yourself have believed the lies of Satan the devil. And how you belong to the kingdom of the devil and not the kingdom of God. Quite amazing, isn't it? You've never heard that before, but that's the truth right from the Word of God. And that's why we have church at home. So you can study your Bible at home. You can set aside the time. You can worship God. You can check all these things out yourself. Now remember, download the book, The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. Now, it's quite a long book, so you'll have to download it in tranches, but you can get the whole thing. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, till next time, so long, everyone.